All right, we're starting to read here at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with who? Faithful or believing Abraham. I ask you to put believing in the Bible there because that's what it translates to be. Believing Abraham. Now this that we're talking about today is called understanding the supernatural. Understanding the supernatural. One man said a miracle is something that overrides natural laws, but he said it's also something that is the normal work of God that we have not yet renewed our minds to. And that's a powerful statement. And there are reasons why many times there are little or no miracles in the church, or supernatural, if you will. But the truth is that you and I are going to be sent into places where the supernatural is a requirement, not an option. And that if we are not, if we are to repossess our inheritance or what's been given to us, and take back what Satan is possessed, or legally possessing, or has hold of, then we're going to have to use the supernatural. And so we've been talking about that, and even talking about the God factor, that we need to factor God back into everything. And when you factor God back into everything, you'll see that good is working on a higher level than evil. That the Bible says you can overcome evil with good. That love is operating on a higher law than hatred. That you can overcome hate with love. Now understand these principles are principles of the kingdom of God, and then the other principles are the principles of the kingdom of darkness. And that's the way Satan runs his system, by the way. He has to run it with God out of it. Because if you ever let God back in it, God's people will take it over. And we need to know that, because sometimes we think that, you know, looking at what it looks from the outside, thinking people are getting away with something. They're not getting away with anything. There's a law out there that says whatsoever a man sows, that would he also reap. So we've got to have confidence in the fact that his kingdom rules over everything. That what he is asking us to do is to love our neighbor and those who hate us, to love them. That's kingdom. And that is the principles of that are much higher than the principles of this world. Now also, we talked about, I'll tell you what, we're just going to bounce into some other things today. This faith, he talked about believing Abraham. That God has spoken things in his word. And we talked about Jacob and how Jacob thought that his son was lost. His son Joseph was a son of Rachel, and also was Benjamin, but Joseph. And he gave him a coat of many colors. And on that coat, it was symbolic of favor being on Joseph. And the other brothers were jealous of him. And Joseph was an international figure that was trapped in a tribal setting. And God was going to do things for him, and he was having these big dreams. And he messed up. When I say messed up, I mean he told his brothers about it, and they got jealous because they weren't dreaming big like that. Well, they decided to kill him, but they changed their mind and decided to put him in a pit. And then some traveling band of Ishmaelites came along, and they ended up selling him. And they sold him, and the Ishmaelites took him on down to Egypt, where now God was going to use him for some powerful things. So it was never designed that the church be detached from the world. We are in the world, but not what? Not of the world. The world is a dark place. The church is light. And that you and I have the solutions to every problem that can happen in the world. Did you know that answers were here before problems ever manifested? Sure they were, because God was here. And he is the answer. So Joseph went on down there, but in his time, God raised him up down there and so forth and so on, but he trusted God. And all that he dreamed came to pass. So to access your inheritance is your inheritance, and the access to it will manifest as you destroy alternatives. Now that's a revelation for you, because God, Exodus 20, is a jealous God. And he, according to 1 Corinthians 1:30, no flesh shall glory in his presence. That he'll not let somebody else get the credit for it. And the tendency is for us to try this or try that. And what we end up doing is not really settling in on anything. And then the book of James talks about that. Remember what I told you? I said, James chapter 1. Remember what I told you? I said that faith demands that God and only God be your source. Some people are trying to get faith to work, and they're trying to straddle this place of believing, meaning that believe a little in God, a little in this right here. And that doesn't work. Now, some folks say they have faith, but they have no proof. And faith without proof, Bishop Oedipo says, is a fake. I think Dr. Price put out a book called Faith, Foolishness, or Presumption. Because it wasn't faith at all, it was religion. And what it had done is deceived you. See, people think because they use all the church slang that they can really come in and act like they got faith. Uh-uh. You can't fool faith. So they're sitting up there getting embarrassed. And the reason why they are is because they never had faith at all. It's still a game, because it's still got other sources. They're still looking at people to supply something. Just hear what I'm telling you now, because I'm not saying you can't start there, but if you're going to really have faith, you're going to have one source, and that source only. Say amen to this. Now that characterizes Joseph's life. Because he had to get it all the way down to the fact that he wasn't looking at any man or anything or any system to raise him up. God alone was going to raise him up. And he did. Now, he says here in James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, temptations. knowing this, glory to God, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So when they brought back evidence to their father Jacob that Joseph had been slain by a lion, that wasn't true. They brought back his coat of many colors with blood on it and told the father, here's Joseph's blood. His coat looked like he'd been slain, and they had sold him. Well, what did the father believe? He believed that he had been slain because all the natural evidence was there. But it was a lie. And Satan is a master deceiver. So when you going in to get your promise, you got to take up Romans, put it up there, please. Romans chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. And he says this. God, verse 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, and every man be a liar. See, when it comes to the promises of God, you're not getting these promises because it's something that you work for or it's something that is coming to you in the future. That's not the idea of the promise. The promise has been made to you through Abraham and ratified by Christ. It's your promise. Healing belongs to you. You don't have to pray one prayer for healing. Because it belongs to you.
Yes, sir.
Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So I'm saying in our lives, when we go and go after these things, Satan starts to tempt us. And he starts to tempt us through deception. He told Eve, Eve, now did God tell you not to eat of that tree? Well, yeah, he told us don't eat it, don't touch it, and so forth. He said, now let me tell you why he told you that. He told you that because he knows the day you eat of it, you'll be like him. The Bible says over in the epistles that Eve was deceived. Adam wasn't, but she was. Now she was deceived. Why? She thought God left something out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See? And God's people think he left something out.
Yes, sir.
And so they cry for God to heal them. When he already has healed them.
Yes, sir.
He didn't leave anything out. He loaded you with your heritage. He loaded you, glory to God. See, Satan is a deceiver. He's trying to make you think you don't have something you already have. You're not going to be rich. You're already rich. That came with the package, folks. It's the blessing package. Come on over there and see what he gave you already. Look at Revelation chapter 5. Put up there, same as I put up there last service. You ought to have the notes back there. Look at verse 11. And I beheld and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? Power. And what?
Amen.
riches and what? Wisdom and what? Strength and what? Honor and what? Glory and what? Blessing. Now who received that? Jesus died on the cross, paid the price, rose again, and received that. But put Romans, please, Romans chapter 8 up there, please, and verse 17. Look at this one. Romans 8 and verse 17. If the children then be what? Heirs. Heirs of who? God. And what else? Joint heirs with Christ. So whatever he got, you got. Now let's go back to Revelation chapter 12, chapter 5, verse 12 again, and see what you got. Let's read it one more time, please. Is that machine hanging up again? Because if it is, we need to get that thing out of there. Okay. Saying with a loud voice, words of the Lamb that was slain for us to receive what? Power. Keep going. Riches. Now, wait a minute. Power. Power. You're not dealing with an intellectual devil. You were dealing with a devil, you got to move by power. Got it? He is going to block the way, try to hold your inheritance. You're going to have to move him with power. Bible said in the last days, God's going to pour out his anointing on all flesh. The power of God is in you. It's not going to come to you. It's already in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it's a burden removing, yoke destroying anointing. It's already there. That power is already there. Look at the next one he says here. He says, to receive power and what else? Riches. How rich are you? Very rich. All right, I understand that, but you need the Holy Ghost to paint a picture of how rich you are. So I told you when I was over in Africa and Brother Copeland's turn to preach, he preached, and in the middle of his sermon, he said, God has made you rich beyond your wildest imagination. Now, what was that? See, he was preaching, it was the word, but the Bible says over in Luke, come on over there with me, Luke chapter 8, please, and Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, put it on the screen. Luke 8, 11, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. I said the seed is the word of God. So when he spoke it, I took it as a seed. When you're here and I'm preaching and teaching, you take what I give you and you take it as a seed. Because unless you take it as a seed, it's not gonna do you any good. You have got to plant what I spoke in the soil of your heart. And your heart is designed as a production center to bring to pass everything that's planted into it.
That's right.
Say amen to this. So what I'm saying to you is he spoke that, boom, it came into my heart. Once it came into my heart, now as I meditate, say meditate, then the Holy Spirit works with that to paint a picture of what God sees into my heart and my mind. So I begin to see something all of a sudden. I didn't see this before. Now I'm thinking small and God's thinking big. Yeah. Folks, let me tell you. I was telling this last service. We said that we are going to have our faith conference this year. And one of the people said to somebody else on staff here, said, yeah, my friend asked me, who are you going to have at the faith conference? And I told him, well, we're going to have Brother Kenneth Copeland and Adjusted Plans. This year we're going to have Bishop David Oedipo coming. We've got Tudor Bismarck coming. And BW. And this is what they said. Oh, shoot, they got the same old speakers, you know. Now watch this. That person is looking for entertainment. They're not looking for seed. When I was here and the man from Africa came and when we were across the street over at Cheru, and he stood up there and said, Pastor Winston, your airplane is in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and went right back to preaching. You see how God gave me my airplane? He brought a man from Africa and gave me a seed. I took it and meditated. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 20. Put it up there, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 20. Look at what it says here. Curse not the king, no, not in thy thought. And curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry thy voice, the voice. That was my scripture. I took that word, put it in my heart, and it became an intercontinental jet. Now, I want you to see how this works. Look up. Put 2 Peter chapter 1 up there, please. You're going to get this. Understanding the supernatural. Because you're the ones that can operate in this. The world can't do this because that's not their seed. See, the garden was where Adam was. But Adam forfeited it. But now God brought the garden back and put it in you. Now, how does your garden grow? Because now it's ready for every seed that's in the Word of God. And you plant it in that garden and it will come forth. Let me ask you, what happened when the angel came to Mary? Said, Mary, you're going to have a baby. She said, how is this going to happen to me? I don't even know a man. I'm a virgin. He said, the Holy Ghost going to come on you. And the holy thing that's going to be born of you shall be the Son of God. She said, well, be it unto me. She believed. And once she believed, to show she believed, she ran out and told Elizabeth. And to confirm the fact that she believed and it wasn't some religious hokey stuff, that baby jumped in Elizabeth's womb. Mary had a baby without a man. God gave me an airplane. Come on now. It came from the same place that the baby came from. I was pregnant with a Gulf Stream and it came forth. Say amen to that. Everything you'll ever need according to life and godliness. Put it up there on the board, please. That's 2 Peter chapter 1. And look what it says here in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Keep going. According as his divine power is given to us all things that pertain to what? Life and godliness through the what? Knowledge of him that has called us to what? Glory and virtue. Keep going. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world through lust. I'm saying he's already given you exceeding great and precious promises. Where are the promises? In the Word of God. What form are they coming in? Seed. What do you have to do? Plant it. I just wanted to hear the man of God say, God has made me rich beyond my wildest imagination. I trust the prophet. And when you got people saying, oh, they got the same old people that are coming in there and so forth. See, that person wants to be entertained. That person has no idea that we're importing people that are multi-preachers that have ministries all over the world, the biggest ministries in the world. Bishop Oedipo has built two big universities. D. debt-free in the middle of Africa. I'm saying, look at Tudor Bismarck. You know when he comes here, you can't hardly sit down for the revelation. Look at all of that. And a person says that, that person is ignorant as I don't know what. And I'm telling you right now, if you're in that category, you need to get out of that category, because God's got a way you can pay your debt off by this time next Sunday. And if you'll receive that seed, it'll happen to you. You just another preacher. See, you coming in here, let me show you this. Come on over here, praise God. These are the ways that the supernatural does not operate. This is what causes it not to operate in people's lives. Let's go down the list. Let's go to the first one. Go and turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, please. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. See, I'm your man of God. I set up and got all of this. Now, this is what I'm preaching is not the limit. See, if you got a heavy pull on me, you can pull something out of me that I didn't intend to preach. Because once I come into your presence like this, I'm coming to serve you. This is just a thank God for your Sunday go-to-meeting hat and your nice clothes and nice shoes and them stockings you got on. But you need to put some of that aside in your mind, because you coming in here to get the promises that God has given you from the foundation of the world. Look what it says here. This is Mark's Gospel and chapter 6, verse 1. And he went out from thence and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were what? Offended at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kinfolk and in his own, come on, house. Now this is interesting. This is Jesus. This is Son of the Living God. This is God wrapped in flesh. And this is what they were saying about him. You know, he the one, ain't he the one that fixed my patio door about 3 years ago? Ain't he the one? Oh, he ain't no prophet, man. You follow what I'm saying? And because they didn't receive the one that God sent, they didn't get a prophet's reward. They didn't get the manifestation of the blessing that God had planned for their lives.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because they got too familiar with the man of God. And I'm telling you, when I come in the pulpit, you need to look at me like you never seen me before.
Yes,
you need to look at... I'm telling you, folks, that's why most of the miracles that we've seen in here, have big miracles, have been people who don't go to church here. Because somebody is pulling me down and say, oh, that's just old Bill Wilson, man. We had his birthday celebration. Yeah, okay, yeah. Hey, I understand that. But once I step into the light, once I step into the office, you don't know me. If you act like it and act like I've been sent to you from God, you will get the blessing before you leave out of here. You'll see a manifestation of his glory. Look what they said in the next verse, verse 5. And there he could do no mighty works. Underline it. Mighty work. Save, he laid his hand on a few sick folk and it healed them. Now notice what he said, mighty works. He laid his hand on a few sick folk. Another translation says, people with minor ailments, like a headache. See, he couldn't do those big miracles. Replacing of joints and healing and replacing of kidneys and all that kind. He couldn't do that. Why? Because they wouldn't receive him. They didn't receive him as a prophet. Look at verse 6. And he marveled because of their what? What? Unbelief. Isn't that something? So he went around about the villages doing what? Teaching. Because when you got unbelief, you got to teach it out. Now, wait a minute. What's another reason why miracles are not going forth? Covetousness. Now, I'm going to cover this myself. Folks trying to be something. Lord have mercy, how can I say this? You know, when I came here, I didn't covet any person's fame or accomplishments. Those preachers, some of them had big churches, and I just thank God for them. Matter of fact, sometimes I went there and sat and got the word myself. But I wasn't trying to take something they had. See, you got to wait on your own ministry. See, and I'm at Lake and Pulaski, see, and down there they stole our car. Y'all know that story, don't you? Some demon we cast out went out there and got behind that wheel and drove that thing off. But he hotwired it too. But anyway, my point to you is, hey, we caught the bus for a while. I'm not ashamed. Because I'm not trying to impress the Joneses. I ain't trying to impress nobody. See, I know who I am. And I know whose I am. See, I remember Dr. Fred Price said, he remembered a time that he was in the ministry and he was preaching on prosperity in California. And he was going all the way up the upper coast and all the way down to El Segundo, just preaching prosperity. But the thing of it is, he had a car that was old and had been wrecked in the front, in the back, on the left side, and the right. His daughters, I think. But anyway, he was driving that, and his wife was going with him to some of the meetings, and she'd like to get there early before anybody really see what they got out of and get into place. And once he finished preaching, tried to rush out and get in there and drive away. He said he didn't need to do that because he didn't see himself driving that. He saw himself driving that Rolls Royce. Come on now, he saw it. See, you can be where you are and see something different. And if you're there, you don't need to manipulate nobody. Cause what you see is what you're gonna get. And I'm telling you, I could see it, folks. Oh, I didn't have no car. I had four pair of pants, one sports coat, two suits, that's all I had to my name. I'd switch it up. I'd wear the sports coat with the other pants, the brown pants with the blue jacket. Then I'd switch it up with the light pants with the dark coat and switch it up. I didn't have much, but I'm walking tall because I could see 10,000. I could see. Look at what I'm saying. Joseph didn't sweat it because he had a dream. And if the devil can't steal your dream, you gonna make it to the promised land. So you got to get that thing and don't be tempted by the devil. Look at what God has done. All I did was just walk out the promise. I just stayed with God. Oh, they didn't talk about me at Lake and Pulaski, but all of a sudden when we got this, they start talking about me. But you think I retaliated? No. I'm going to let good overcome evil. I just asked the brother, why did you talk about me? He said, I don't know why I talked about you like. I said, that's all right, man. Come in, let me hug you, man. I love you, brother, so forth. Why? Because they can't hurt you. If they can't hurt you, let them talk. If they want to, talk don't bother me. So what am I saying? I'm saying in your life, these are practical things that keep the supernatural from happening in people's lives. God has a plan for you. The enemy has scripted your life before you even knew it. And he says, this is as far as you're gonna go. Make him out of a liar. Now let me just show you one more. So the first one really is unbelief. The next one is covetousness. And I remember when, who was it? Gehazi, who was a servant to the man of God. The man came down to give man of God something, but the man of God wouldn't take it because the man of God was instrumental in Naaman's healing, and Naaman wanted to give him something. God told the man of God, don't take it. So he didn't take it. But the servant of the man of God heard that. He waited till the man of God got out of sight and then ran and caught the man and said, hey, he didn't want to take it, but I got some needs. And he passed it on to him. Well, what happened? God, the leprosy that was on Naaman came on that servant. He was unfaithful. The last one, doubt. Doubt. Turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. Are y'all with me? Let God be true, and every man be a liar. Too many people today are victims of a scientific verdict. I know professionals have told you the best they know how, and thank God for that. But compared to spiritual law, they don't know much. I said they don't know much. Everything that makes a case for the impossible in spiritual law is actually a deception. Everything. You see, when Satan wants to destroy you or steal what you've got, he goes after your faith. If you take your faith, see, this is what Jacob didn't do. See, he allowed his sons to come in here and bring him proof that Joseph was dead. But was it true? No. It was not true. It was not true. And what happened was, Joseph was alive, and they had fabricated proof that he was dead. And Jacob believed it. And when he believed it, he got the results of it. It shut down his faith, and now Pharaoh asked him, how old are you? And he was embarrassed to tell him how old he was because his father lived so much older and his grandfather lived older than that. What happened? Worry. Grieving. Grief and faith are from two different sources. Are you with me? Don't let the enemy deceive you. Go back to God's word, because what Jacob needed to do is what? Ask God. Remember when the Gibeonites came in and Joshua was busy taking land, and the next thing happened, the Gibeonites came and they said, we've come from a far country. And watch this, had evidence of it. They said, look at the holes in our shoes. We've traveled so far. They just came right down from Des Plaines Avenue. They came down Des Plaines. Right around the corner here. Now, why am I saying that to you? Don't let the enemy deceive you. Go back to God's word. What did God's word say about it? Because if you can always post yourself on God's word, it's hard for that devil to deceive you. People have tried to, they didn't know it, but the enemy was trying to use them to deceive me. But I wouldn't do it. And you can tell when they're working on deception, because they'll get mad when I don't do it. See, it's manipulation. Don't let them prophesy over you. The Lord will tell me that you're going to meet a man and he's going to have something for you. It's all right to use your imagination, but watch it. Let the Holy Ghost give you the picture. Let him give you the picture. Don't just use your imagination without the Holy Ghost. Because that thing can be tampered with. Are you with me? All right, I'm almost done. I got a clock back there that says stop, stop, stop. How long has that been stopping like that? All right, let me just give you this last one. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. Are you there yet? Did I turn you there already? All right, Matthew chapter 14. All right, the last one is doubt. Is doubt. One man said, treat doubt like dope. Stay away from it. Stay away from it. Now, why are we saying that? Because doubt will destroy the supernatural power in your life. Doubt will destroy it because doubt comes from the same reservoir, I think, as fear. And fear sets up an unholy alliance with its victim. And that's why the anointing and fear won't work together. That's why the anointing takes boldness, takes righteousness to work. That's why you see me in here. I don't back down from nobody. I tell you exactly what it is. But you'll see when people get fearful and they're trying to make sure everybody's happy and so forth, ain't no anointing there. You got to come on with it today. I was overseas, the man of God just saying he had a big service, you know, 55,000 people in each service, three services on Sunday. And somebody was blowing one of those big bull horns, you know, in the service. When people get started shouting, they draw this horn. You know, that horn, that horn that sound. He listened to that one time. And then the next time they blew it, now he's preaching. He said, oh, blow it again. I'm going to take it away from you and put you out. Kept right on preaching, didn't say a word. You never heard that bullhorn again. I'm just telling you. I'm saying we got to stop being weak and timid, folks. The anointing doesn't work on that environment. True enough, stay in love. But understand you got to do what you got to do. Is this the right bunch I'm talking to you? I'm going to make y'all hang around me. I'm going to make y'all tough. Come on. I'm going to make y'all tough. Because, you know, sometimes that enemy will try to deceive you, like I said, you know. Try to make you think he's saved and he ain't saved. Come on, women. Y'all know what I'm talking about. No, no. He just play acted.
Would you please say something?
Really, I'm telling you. So here's what I'm saying. Here's a case where Peter, I won't go to there. I'm just going to talk about it. The situation was Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, the disciples did. They said to him, if that be you, bid me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. This is a supernatural. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water to go to Jesus. But he did something. He took his eyes off of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, when you're in the middle of the supernatural, don't let anything distract you from the Word of God. Now, what I'm saying is this. Trust everything else to the Lord. Just trust it to the Lord. Keep your eye right on that word, glued on that thing, because you can't serve two masters. One man said like this, you can't get one of your eyes to look up and the other one to look down. The Bible says he looked away from Jesus and looked at his circumstances and began to sink. And notice what happened when he began to sink. He called out, Lord, save me. What did Jesus do? Save him. I've been there before. I thought I was ready for something. I thought I could do this or whatever have you. And my faith wasn't quite there. And you know what I had to do? Lord, save me. And do you know he comes right in and save you? The reason why, he is the author and the finisher of your faith. It's time for you to get the supernatural, to operate in the supernatural. And let me tell you, you wouldn't even be here if you weren't chosen for it. You wouldn't even be here. I believe we're moving into a season now where God's people are going to be a showcase. I'm talking about no sickness and disease, no lack and begging and poverty. Come on, among God's people. He's going to distinguish you so when you go down the street, they're going to say, hey, that's one of them. That's one of them. You're going to be walking like you know somebody. Y'all. That's all I got. Give the Lord a hand clap, would you? All right, keep your seats for just a minute, please. Just don't run out. We need to pray for people to get saved. That's what we're here for, too.